It's good to see everybody this evening. Hope you've all had just a really good day today. It's been a pretty day. I know we've had a little bit of a fire or two around here, as we seem to just about every afternoon, but it's still been beautiful out there, and we're privileged to be able to live in such beautiful times. I wanted to talk about one of, I believe, the most important things that we can do as we go through life, and that's to appreciate what we have and also to enjoy what we have. I'm convinced that we actually get to the point sometimes where we're almost hesitant to enjoy what we have. And you see that all the time. Somebody will say something's going well, and then they'll say knock wood or something like that, as if somehow we're going to jinx, if that's is something that can actually happen, the good things we have. We serve God. And God has a pattern that works every time. And if we can find what that pattern is and apply it to our life to the best of our ability, not only is it right to enjoy what we have, but I think it's absolutely critical to enjoy what we have. I'm not saying that we shut our eyes to the bad things in life, nor that we somehow don't address them, but what I do mean is I really think that God's given us great gifts, and we might as well appreciate and enjoy these great gifts, because I think He wants us to. I know when I gave my kids gifts, when Carolyn gave our kids gift, we wanted them to enjoy it, to appreciate it, to be thankful for it. But sometimes, because I think we're a little bit hesitant to just fully embrace it, because of that, we don't fully express our appreciation to God for it, because maybe we feel a little guilty for it. And so this lesson, I think, maybe as much as anything, is to go ahead and enjoy what God has for us. I think back a lot to my childhood. I had a really fine childhood. It ended, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, I think. If you talked to Carolyn, it hadn't quite ended yet. But I really enjoy life. I always have. And I've thought about that a lot through the years as to why I got to enjoy so many good things. It's not that bad things didn't happen as I grew up or after we got married or anything like that. As a matter of fact, some of the things that happened when I was growing up, you really wouldn't want to go through. But if we're wise, we'll just kind of let those things go and appreciate what God has done for us. In Psalms chapter 144 and verse 15, from the Revised Standard Version, it says this: "Happy the people to whom such blessings fall. Happy the people whose God is the Lord." I'm convinced one of the reasons that I've had such a happy life is I've been surrounded by righteous people. When I was a kid, I did nothing for that. I can tell you for a fact that I didn't earn anything that I had that was good from my parents. My parents just tried to be godly people. They'd be the first people to tell you that they failed a lot, but their intent was to be godly, and because of that intent to be godly and to do the best they could, it had tremendous benefits for the three of us who were their children. One of the things I believe that they did for us that is almost incalculable, the benefits that we've received, is that when we were growing up on Sunday morning, we were in Sunday school. And then we were in worship. And then on Sunday night, we were back in worship. And on Wednesday night, we were back in Bible class. And I don't remember there ever being a discussion about that as far as, are we going tonight or do I have to go? There may have been a time or two where I said, do I have to go? But I can tell you that probably didn't end up well. And been one of those bad things that you kind of erase from your mind as you go through life. But because they were so intent upon that, it gave us a very stable life. Now, it was their way. I remember when I was growing up, we had Bible stories before we went to bed every night. My mom had a Bible book that she would open up and read to us kids every night, and it was a very good Bible book. As a matter of fact, I think some of y'all actually have it today. It was very scripturally based, and because of that, we just had one good Bible story after another. But that's how we went to bed at night and said our prayers. I don't remember having meals when I was growing up, unless we were out somewhere where it wasn't conducive to a prayer. I don't remember having a meal without Dad offering thanksgiving for the meal. And again, because of that, it produced a great life. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26, it says, "He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge." I cannot stress enough how important this is and how wonderful it is for your kids. Even though kids are always going to be kids, I can tell you for a fact that there probably wasn't, I don't know, there probably wasn't many Sunday afternoons, if ever, that I was ready to stop what I was doing and go to worship because I was a kid. And kids would rather have fun. But at some point, you have to make a determination that you're going to do certain things. I've noticed a lot of people as they grow up, they don't really grow up, and they never get to that point where they can appreciate that. Nor do they always appreciate what it means to their children. He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children, it will be a refuge. Tremendous blessing as a result of just doing some very basic things. Joshua said this towards the end of his life. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14, he said, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." Joshua is apparently up before the nation of Israel and talking to a large crowd here, and Joshua has been the leader of the nation of Israel just as Moses had been before him, and he's leaving them with his final thoughts. Just as the book of Deuteronomy is Moses' final thoughts, this in Joshua chapter 24 is pretty much what Joshua leaves with the people, or at least what we have recorded. "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." I don't want to make it seem like it's as simple as making a choice, because the choice comes with tremendous effort. Think about what Joshua had been through. Joshua, along with Caleb, and certainly Moses, were the ones who stood up when they had gone into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb specifically, with the other 10 spies. And the 10 spies brought a bad report on the land. Not that the land was didn't have the milk and honey that God had promised them, but that the people just seemed too imposing for them to actually go in and do what God wanted them to do. And so it was Joshua and Caleb who said, "We can do this." And because of that, there was a lot of turmoil. They risked their lives just by getting up in front of that mob of about 2 to 4 million people, maybe more, by saying, "No, we need to go ahead and do this. We need to obey God on this." And then there was a 40-year wandering through the wilderness, which could not have been fun. And Joshua went through that. This choice to serve the Lord did cost him certain things. And then once they got into the land of Canaan, there was a period, we're not sure exactly how long it was, probably somewhere between 7 and 10 years, where they had to fight tooth and nail against the inhabitants of Canaan. And this was God's punishment. This was God's judgment being rendered upon this nation because of their evil. And so at the same time, God was rewarding the Israelites with this land flowing with milk and honey. And it really was. The inhabitants, because of their wickedness, because of their absolute turning away from God, and then not even taking the 400 years that they had to repent from the time the promise was given to Abraham, they had to suffer for that. And Joshua had to be involved with that at their lead. And the types of things that they were required to do because of that was just absolutely, it would have been mortifying to us to have had to have gone through that. And so I don't want to say that it is as simple as a choice. Yeah, I'll do it. And now my life is going to be great. It took a lot of effort on Joshua's part and on the part of the people to be faithful. But because Joshua was far seeing, he was able to recommend to the Israelites, we can go into the promised land. Because the majority of the people were short-sighted, they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness before they could even do that. They still had it to do. But everybody was 40 years older, and most of the people of Joshua's generation, with the exception of Caleb and Moses and Aaron and Miriam, but eventually Moses and Aaron and Miriam all passed away, all died. It was just them that got to go in. Their generation died. Joshua and Caleb got to go in. That was what God had promised them would happen, and that's what happened. It was difficult. And so when Joshua gets up towards the end of his life, because he has been far-seeing, he's been far-sighted, he can stand up before the people and say, choose, knowing full well that the people that he was talking to understood the consequences and the effort and the work that Joshua had put into that choosing, but also knowing how God had always been faithful to Joshua. The choice that we have set before us is the same today. We can either serve the gods of this age, the idols of this age, or we can choose to serve God. It will come with some difficulty if you choose to serve God. There will be opposition for that. But it's going to give you the very best life possible while we're here. And if we're farsighted enough to realize it, an eternity with God forever. That's what we're after, and that's what we want. We want not only a happy childhood for our families, for us when we're kids, and if we have kids, our kids as they're growing up and the generations to follow, but we also want, we are looking forward to this reward that God has for us in heaven, even though we don't deserve it, but it requires a choice. I mentioned this morning about simpler times and what all different things we sometimes think about. You have different thoughts when you think of simpler times in your life than perhaps I do, but they all pretty much go back to the idea of you're just enjoying the basics of life. But if we want this, I think there's a certain pattern that we have to go by. And the pattern is this. We need to talk to God every day. I'd recommend you start your day with talking to God. I would recommend that your first words out of your mouth is thank you. And then go ahead and get into your list of things that you'd like help for. But thank you is really a good way to start because it does two things. One, it allows us to express to our Heavenly Father that we do appreciate what He's done for us. And it also puts that attitude of thanksgiving within our mind. And so maybe we're not just running into a gimme, gimme, gimme mode. But then we can go to God and we can ask Him for help with our day as we seek to serve Him. But that's one of the things of this pattern. If you want to have a better life, you're going to have to go back to the basics. If you enjoyed the simpler times as you look back over your life, there's a way to have those simpler times. When we talk about the simplicity, we really are talking about the basic. You thank God for the day. You start your day with prayer, I would recommend. And I would recommend that you take God with you all the way through the day, that you continually talk to Him as you go through the day. There's a million things we can talk to God about. We can thank Him for our food. We can thank Him for our health. We can ask Him to be with this person we're concerned about over here. We can ask Him for this. We can ask for help in what we're attempting to do. But we take Him with Him through the day. But that prayer is so basic. And then read something from the Scriptures every day. Some days you will have more time. Some days you will have time to dig in and really study the Word of God. And that will actually take an effort on your part because that's going to some days mean that you have to carve important time out from your commercial and television watching schedule. But you can do that. The TV will still be there. I can almost guarantee you when you get through with your Bible study. But it doesn't have to be a big thing. You may have a day that's absolutely swamped. and you get up and you feel like you got a bucket in your hand and you're just putting out fires as soon as you get up. But I would recommend you do this. Start off your day with just a bit of God's Word. I don't know how many years ago I discovered that just by getting up and reading a psalm or from one of the chapters in the Proverbs just takes a few minutes, anywhere from maybe 30 seconds to 2 minutes. But here you have a thought on your day, a thought on your heart that you can carry with you through the day. And then later on, you can spend your time in reading and study. But this is a great way to start. And again, if you want simpler times, then you have to go back to the basics, because that's what simplicity is. And it's going to require a relationship with God's Word. Not just you talking to God in prayer, which is important, but if all we do is talk to God in prayer, then essentially what we are doing is we're saying, it's important for you to hear what I'm saying, but I'm not really sure I got time to hear what you're saying. And so hopefully you can see the vital need of going to God's Word. I already mentioned this idea of being of praying to God all day, but it really involves a being aware of God's presence all through the day, recognizing that this is His world. Your life is His life. He really did create you, and He really did put you here for a purpose. I really like the fact that we can enjoy certain things. I hope you enjoy what you do. If you don't enjoy what you do, I'd recommend that you find something if it's possible to do it. But I can tell you, there are so many things I get pleasure from. I love preaching. I cannot believe that y'all would be kind enough to pay me for preaching. I really can't, because I've heard me. but I appreciate that. And I like what all it entails. I like the everything that goes along with it. Well, maybe not everything. There are two things I don't just chomp at the bit for. One is funerals and the other is weddings, and I won't tell you in which order. And it's not that I'm not honored to take part in these parts of your lives. As a matter of fact, I feel like it's very important to have some godly principles in both of these areas. I'm just telling you that these are not the most favorite. I like lawn mowing season. I like smelling fresh-cut grass, and I like looking at a lawn that has been just grown over and looking at it after it looks nice and neat. I like being outside in God's sunshine. I like the wind, actually. Is that twisted? I enjoyed being up on the roof for 8 months, and I'm really glad that I'm hoping to never be on another roof again, although I've got one calling to me. But we can enjoy things. You can enjoy every part of your life. One of the things I enjoyed when I was working on that building was there were several nights when I was working at sunset and I stopped long enough to lift my head up and look at what was happening to the skyline of Happy over here and to the sun setting over here, and it was gorgeous. And you realize God's power. Be aware of God's presence all the way through the day is one of the greatest basics you can do. And the other two things are this. You do all you can. In Dave's prayer this morning, he was praying to God that we would do our part. I think that is so important, that we not just turn everything over to God as if He owes us. We owe Him. And we owe Christ. But if we'll do everything we can to the best of our ability, and we do it in an intelligent manner, in other words, we've gone to His Word, we've found out from His Word what He wants us to do and how He wants us to do that, it gives us a great amount of freedom. You can go in 1,000 different directions still walking in the light with the different occupations and the different things that we get to do every day. But He gives us His Word, and He tells us how and what He wants us to do. And then He turns us loose. So you do all you can. We live in a nation where we have certain responsibilities and privileges. And I believe we need to take those. The church has certain responsibilities that go along with the great privileges we've been given. Your family has responsibilities that go along with the great privilege. And the fact that you get up in the morning and you're still breathing, great responsibility and great privilege. And the last thing is then what we talked about this morning, being still and letting God take care of the rest. Once you and I have done everything that we can, we need to trust God to do the rest. Now, sometimes we'll do that side by side. If you're out fighting a grass fire, literally, it is good to be praying to God for His help, but it's also good to not stop fighting the fire. if you're trying to rescue one of your children that are in a mud hole or in water and they can't swim, then it's good to be praying to God, but it's also good to, at the same time, to be doing all you can. But once you've done all you can, then you get to be still and you get to wait for God. And we can do that. Psalms chapter 16. This is a psalm of David. In verse 6, he says, "The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." I don't know how many times this particular verse comes to my mind as I go through my life. I don't deserve anything I've got that's good. I know what I deserve. But God, because of his love for me, has allowed the boundary lines to have fallen in pleasant places. Think about David, the one who is writing this. Think about what he's been through. He has fought off the lion and the bear from his herd. He has attacked, fought in battle Goliath. He was one of the greatest warriors of all time. What was the songs that they sang? Saul has killed his hundreds and David his thousands. David has a list of mighty men that served him within the scriptures, but probably the mightiest of all the men that have ever, the fighting men, you'd have to include David among them. David had a hard life in many ways, and yet, even though he had that hard life, even though he had enemies on all sides, and sometimes those who he thought were his friends turned out to be his enemies, he said, "The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places." David was one that was looking forward to eternity, and he was also one that enjoyed the day. When the Ark of the Covenant was being brought back, David was celebrating with all of his might because he was so caught up in the joy of bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. The boundary lines had fallen for him in pleasant places. In verse 1, he says this, "Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge." And he knew that God had been his refuge. He'd proven it over and over. "I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." I really believe if we could keep this in mind, that it would change our lives, because sometimes we think we have our religious life and we have our real life. And yet David said, "Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are glorious ones in whom is all my delight." I look around and I see some of the saints of the land. I think of some of our members who have been faithful for so many years. And I think we ought to take delight in them and encouragement. You can just count on Roxy and Alice being here. They're saints in the land. I look at Alvin and Mary and their faithfulness for so many years. They're saints in the land. I think about Nora and Juanita, and I think about Lucy and all those, and some of y'all as well. There are just so many that are saints in the land whom we should be taking delight in. As David says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, he realizes that a big part of that are the saints in the land. And of course, within the church, we're told that all are saints, are we not? But we have so many to look back on and so many to take the example from. He says, "The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods." Again, this idea that you can have a physical life and a spiritual life is a lie, because the physical life is the running after other gods. You can enjoy physical things. David enjoyed physical things. "There's nothing I enjoy more than a good steak." Especially if Carolyn orders good shrimp to go along with that good steak and we share it together. I enjoy a good sunrise. I enjoy a good walk. There's just so many things we enjoy. "I will not pour out their libations," he says, "about those who run after other gods," talking about the other gods, "or take their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion in my cup." You want to know what the simpler times are and how you can go back to those simpler times with these basics that we talk about. We understand that God assigned us that portion and cup. "You have made my lot secure." And that's why he says the boundary lines have fallen for us in pleasant places. And can we not all say that? Invitations open this evening. If you have a need to respond to the gospel's invitation, we'd encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.